Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens,
the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yule Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing. Just excited to start the week off. It's going to be a big, fun, exciting week for us. That's for sure.
It is, everybody. We're traveling again this week. So this is the Salt Lake City Reunion Part 1 recap. So we'll get to that in a second. But guess what? You know what? Later this week, we're going to be going fun places. We're March 3rd, we're in St. Paul at the Fitzgerald Theater. And we're going to be doing OC there.
Real Housewives of Orange County.
Okay. And then March 4th, we're not doing Milwaukee. I mean, that's nasty.
Hey.
We're going to Milwaukee to the Turner Hall Ballroom. And for the first time ever, we are going to be doing Top Chef, the premiere episode, live. I know that most of you listen to housewivesy types of things, but Top Chef is one of our favorite things to recap. It's going to be funny. So come see that. Okay.
Did you mean to have a landmark recap in Milwaukee?
And then March 5th, the very next night, we're going to be in Chicago at Park West. We're also going to Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, Denver. That's just in March. Then in April, yeah, we're going to be in San Fran, Detroit, Columbus, Cleveland, Houston, Dallas. And we just announced we're going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival here in Austin, Texas, where I am. So, Guys, come see us. Go get links at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, guess what? Tonight is the night for Take a Seat, which is our show on Spotify Green Room. It's an app, the Green Room app. Just go download it. And you guys talk to us. We talk to you. You talk to each other. It's a big party. I've really started looking forward to that night. And I hope we see you there tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. And of course, this is a Crappens on Demand episode, by the way. So you can see us. We're in sort of our earth tones today. You know, I got my wrinkled collar of a t-shirt. You know, it's just one of those days. But let's get on to some Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because it was a very intense and jam-packed episode of content, as all the reunions are. I mean, like you said, I spent 5 hours taking notes on this episode. You said you did 3 hours worth.
Yeah, you did 5 hours?
No, it wasn't. I just felt like it. It felt like five hours.
I was close to three. And then I stopped in the middle and I was like, stop. Just stop. No one needs to hear every line. But I was like, yes, I do. Because it's really good.
Well, it was a horrible overuse of time. And I found it was revolting. That was the big buzzword. That's Meredith's buzzword in general. Horrible. Because everyone knows about disengage. But the truth is, horrible and revolting are her two, you know, those are really her favorite words.
Yeah, she really does love that. She loves the handshake. She likes being the victim the whole time. One thing that was surprising was that it looks boring. The previews for this look boring. I mean, I'll be honest. After a crazy season, I thought, this preview, But the second we start zooming in on those floor poofs from Target, I mean, bravo. This is the lowest rent housewives show out there. And listen, OC is still on the air, so that's saying something. And I love that they had poofs from Target on the damn floor and a little pool in the middle.
A danger pool. I love that this is the first reunion that has an actual hazard, right? Like, you just don't, if you want to fight, you don't be careful because there is a hole in the floor. There's a hole with water.
There's literally a hole with water.
There are piranhas in the water. If Jen Shah, if you decide you want to get up and attack Meredith, just so you know, there is a pit of piranha in front of you.
Yeah. So right when we start, it's a black screen and it says, taped prior to Jenny Wen's social posts becoming public and her subsequent departure from the show. Those posts are not mentioned in the show. Thankfully, Ronnie started hating her episodes ago anyway, so he can still be a dick to her. Enjoy.
So now we have the women arriving at the reunion. This is, I have to say, Ronnie, I'm a little over the arrival to the reunion shtick. Like, I don't get anything of this, like, the pre-fight stuff, like the women in glam being like, well, I don't know if I'm ready for today. It's always the same thing every time. But so here we are getting the Salt Lake City version. And
it's
Heather,
that pre-sports thing where they're like, how do you feel about going up against Ben Mandelker yet again?
Yeah.
I trained for this. My dad trains me. You know, they do that whole thing.
And notably, Andy goes to all the housewives except for, well, they edited out him going to Jenny. Because if it had been, if none of that stuff would come out, it'd be like, Jenny, your first reunion, how you feeling today? But they don't even, they got rid of Jenny's epilogue last week. They don't give her the pre thing. It's really fun seeing the ways that they're slicing her out.
I really wish they pulled a Below Deck Pete and just like, you just never see her again.
You know? I actually thought that when Andy was doing his hi Heather, hi Jen, I thought for sure they were going to just skip hi Jenny because he went out of order when that time came because he went on the couch. He went Lisa and then he went Meredith. I was like, oh my God, they're skipping hi Jenny. But then he actually said hi Jenny. So
whatever. Yeah. Oh, she's skippable enough as far as the season goes anyway, which is helpful. But Whitney was cracking me up because she's like, I am watching Lisa on my phone. It is game day, so I have to see what the other team is doing right now. And they show her watching a feed on her phone, which I don't think that's fair. What, do they get to watch each other on a feed in their dressing rooms? What the hell is that?
No, it wasn't a feed. It was, she was just like rewatching a screener from, you know.
I'm so dumb. I was like, what, do they all have slipper nanny cams in there? What the hell?
Lisa, I know what sort of bronzer you put on today. I've been watching you. And then Meredith comes in and she's like, well, I'm super excited. I mean, the hair part, not about the rest of it. Which is funny. You know what's funny to me? It's funny that Meredith is like really excited that her hair guy is there to do her hair. But like, she always has the same hair, right? Like, I imagine I would be excited about a hair person because, like, today I'm going to go for a high pony with bangs or something. But, like, if it's always the same thing, like, I feel like, you know, I guess
get a wig at this point. Yeah, get a wig at the – I mean, I see what you mean for sure. The thing that I really want to see on Meredith, though, arms. I want to see arms. I need to see the – are they robot arms? What's happening? Because there's always a suit or a sleeve. And listen, I mean, if that maybe they're – maybe she just doesn't like her arms. You know, who am I to say? But as a viewer, as a fan, I'm like – are they C-3PO arms? Like, tell me what's happening. I need to know.
Or a different kind of sleeve. Like, what I would like to see is less the spiky shoulder or the feathery shoulder or the feathery arm. Give just some, maybe a giant, like, flowy piece of fabric. I don't know. But, yeah, I think I need some, arm variety.
Yeah, and the feathers this time. I mean, the feathers this time. Oh, my God.
Feathers. It was, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit to say that it's the Monsters, Inc. monster, but it's also, like, accurate fruit. It's like you go for the low-hanging fruit, you're like, oh, this tastes exactly the way an apple should taste. Bravo.
Yeah. Listen, some fruit is on the ground, like a potato.
Some fruit doesn't grow high. Some fruit grows on bushes, perhaps.
My favorite fruit, the potato.
Potato fruit. Well, potatoes in French are called pomme de terre, which means apples of the ground. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Andy goes to Jen Shaw's dressing room and he's like, there she is. Which is a very Joe Gorga way to enter the room, right? Glad you're here. And just so you know, I'm going with the Gorga spelling of that, which is H-E-E-R. Okay, glad you're here. We have a lot to talk about, Jen. And I want you to hear from me, Jen. All right? We did not give Erica Jane questions before the Beverly Hills reunion. You're the same as Erica Jane. Have fun in jail, sucker.
Jen's like, oh, I didn't even hear that rumor. But now that I do hear it, I'm thinking, should I get myself mad and then calm down again really quickly?
I know Jen's like, you didn't give her questions, but did you give her money? No, didn't give her money either. Did you sign up for her business services with your life savings? Okay, Jen. Okay.
And then he goes to Lisa. He's like, hey, Lisa, how you feeling today? She goes, good. it's going to be a lot. I got pushed to a point where I'm like, I'm done. Okay. You know what it's like? It's like when you go to a museum and they say no touching. I'm like, I'm done. Okay. Can I touch? No, I'm done.
That's a lot. That's a lot on that. Her mouth. So I'm looking for chapstick because for whatever reason. Oh, it's right in front of me. Vaseline lip therapy.
There it is.
There it is. Spelled A-S-S-L-E-E-N.
Vaseline.
Vaseline. Yay, you got some Vaseline. Okay, so then he goes over to Meredith's, and he's like, Meredith, has to be pretty eye-opening to see what Lisa said about you behind that closed door. Was it eye-opening? Open your eyes. Meredith, only one of your eyes is open right now. Were both of your eyes open? She's like, wow.
Let me tell you something. What I saw was horrifying, and it's like when I have to put out a mailing for the new line of Meredith Marks, there's a lot of stuff I have to address.
Yeah, it was revolting. It was revolting. He's like, revolting, huh? That's a funny word.
Rather revolting. It was like you took the concept of revolting and you added a CBS news anchor to it, and it was rather revolting.
Can I just add that Meredith gets no respect, okay? They put the camera for Meredith. Nobody wants that angle. Meredith is so beautiful. No one can look good from that angle. It's like under her, behind her. They're like, could you lift your arm? We're going to put a camera in your armpit and get you right from below. All right, Meredith?
I know. I was a little surprised that she wasn't first seat, that she was actually all the way down to third seat on the sofa. I mean, I wonder if, like, the absence of Mary meant they had to recalibrate things, but I really thought that, like, it was going to be Jen, Meredith, then maybe Whitney, Lisa, Heather, Jenny. I don't know. I was very surprised that Meredith was on the end because I felt like Meredith was kind of the center of all the major drama of this, not the center, but she was involved in all the major drama of the entire season.
Who was right next to Andy?
It was Jen and Lisa Barlow. I was shocked. I mean, I was very proud of Lisa. I was like, good for you. You know, like, I feel like in some ways Lisa Barlow is an underrated shit stirrer of a cast member in the Real Housewives universe. I was like, look at her. She made her way all the way next to Andy. But truth be told, it should have been Meredith. It was Meredith versus Lisa, Meredith versus Jen, Meredith and the Mary thing. It was all about Meredith all season long.
Well, this reunion was all about Lisa. Oh my God. They just laid into Lisa the entire time. I was cracking up. I just wasn't expecting it, and I was cracking up. So Jen comes on in her stupid purple Disney villain outfit thing where she looks like she's looking through the purple fern. You just see.
Cardi B is an ode to Cardi B, as she elaborated on her Instagram.
Oh God.
But yeah, it was funny. It was sort of like up there. It was
an ode to Cardi B. It was sad. Yeah, it was sad. I don't like that. Okay. I do not like it. So Whitney's like, oh my God, it's water. And Andy's like, it's for ice fishing.
And Lisa's like, this is like the most insane set. It was one of the more insane sets, because normally the sets are kind of an ode to something that happened, and then maybe they might make something look like a log cabin or New Orleans or something. But this was like a little theme parky. Like, this felt like I was waiting in line at Disney to go on the Matterhorn. It was not like a ski chalet. I mean, I personally think the reunion should have just been designed to look like a giant Sprinter van. You know,
that would have been great with those little tiny bottles of water, you know,
like. Bag of lifesavers, a stripper pole right in the middle where the death pit is. And he has to spend the entire reunion being like looking around the pole to get to the camera.
So everyone comes out and they're asking, where's Mary? Where's Mary? And Heather's like, why is Mary not here? Like, Heather is doing her second reunion performance where all season she seems kind of chill, and then she gets to the reunion. I mean, calm down, okay? Calm yourself. Yeah. Every time they cut to Heather, she's like, and then she just talks over everybody the entire time. So that's why it took so long. I had to keep rewinding to hear what they were saying under freaking Heather pushing her agenda, okay?
Yeah. the Heather agenda. So then so then Meredith comes out to the set and she's like, oh, is that our ice fishing?
And the producer's like, Andy, we have to remove Jen's glove because Jen is wearing gloves with fake chandelier crystals sewn like all over
chimes.
Them.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, these gloves make the whole outfit, but okay. So they take them off. And I just kept writing Jen costume comments, which nobody really needs. So Andy, welcome. I'm Andy Cullen. I'm joined by the women whose sophomore season almost set the snow-capped mountains on fire. Let's take a look. Just kidding. Hi, ladies. Hi, ladies.
We transformed our set into the beautiful ice castles of Utah, where after months of feuding, Jen and Heather finally made peace. I'm hoping we can mend some other rifts that transpired this season. Remember, Jen was on a sled, guys.
And Heather's like, wow, ice castles. She just throws a hot dog onto the water.
I know.
We don't.
She's just trying to toast a churro over that pit of water the entire time.
A churro.
Heather,
right.
Heather, that is actually not a fire, but probably better because last time you put your churro on the toxic crystals that were not meant for cooking.
Because they are mixing their scene metaphors, if you will, because the ice fishing was a different thing. And
that was ice fishing.
Yeah, the ice castles were was when she threw the churro on the fire. So, guys, I mean, does anyone watch this show?
And they didn't even have sofas. They just had tubes. It was so strange. They all sat on their own different tube in the patchy snow.
No one would sit next to Lisa on her tube.
By the way, one thing I did we talk about this last week? That one of the benefits of Jenny being fired from the show is that I think I did mention this, but I'll mention it again because I'm already down this path.
Why not?
One of the benefits is that we never had to see the resolution of the Sister Wives storyline, because I believe that there probably was a resolution for it in the season finale, and they just we just never saw it. And I'm like, thank you. That's one of the blessings.
They found their sister wife. It's like Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. We're up with now, Bravo. We're not doing that.
Hi, baby gorgeous. Hi.
Hi, Andy.
So aren't you glad we're not in a Sprinter van? Yes.
Let's see. Andy tells Jen that she looks understated.
Some might have expected you to show up in pious white today, but not you.
Yeah, I don't know where I land on this, to be honest. Like, I feel like the smart thing would have been for Jen to be, you know, like, conservative and humble. But I think we all would have then just clocked Jen for being totally fake. So I actually think she did the right thing. I think she just, like...
Go out in a
ball of flames, right? Or in this case, purple feathers.
Feathers. Unless you're actually near flame, which you will be a ball of flames wearing those feathers. Okay.
Well, get ready for episode 2 where we transform the water pit into a steaming cauldron of flames.
This outfit represents all the purple hairs I stabbed through the heart, Andy.
And he's like, Meredith, did you take a nice long soak in a bathtub today?
Well, you're about to right now. But yeah, I just pushed Meredith in. Number one.
And she's like, well, actually, I didn't, because you put us in a hotel without a bathtub. It was horrifying. And so kind of a no for me on the bathtub front.
Welcome to New York fucking city, lady.
I know.
Oh my God, the hotel rooms are as big as a bathtub.
And yet your outfit looks like a corpse that drowned a week ago. It's even grown moss on the arms. You look stupid. Okay, you know what? I just like to make a general note. You all look crazy and stupid. Okay, thanks.
Meredith, I just want to say thank you for your dedication to this country. I loved you in The Muppet Caper. I'm not Sam the Eagle. I'm Meredith Marks.
Sam the Eagle, wow. Who's like, well, we're gonna need to look at Meredith's rider last time. Think you not have riders on this show. You are never gonna convince me that they give anybody anything for this show. I'm surprised if they even get paid. for this show. They probably charge them for the rehearsal time. It's like doing improv. So Andy, so yeah, he says that, and then he turns to Jenny. He's like, "Jenny, how you feel about being here?" And she just throws a glass at his face.
"Hey, Whitney, I'm glad you could take a break from driving carpool to be here." She's like, "Yes, haha. The nanny is at home doing the carpool, but not texting because we believe in safety."
"I haven't." Meanwhile, at Whitney's house, "Hey, kids, it's me, the nanny."
Fran Drescher just shows up in Utah.
She's trying to, like, get the paint out of the comforter. It's like, "What happened here?" Wink.
So, and
"Hi, Heather, how are you? Did you finally get a real Louis Vuitton?"
She's like, "Yes, I did finally get a real Louis Vuitton." I am shocked, Ronnie, that there was not any sort of remark about Jen Shah being banned for life from Louis Vuitton at this moment.
You know, I'm actually shocked, too, because that was a pretty big thing. Remember on Take a Seat, we had someone from wherever she was banned saying, "I work there." And it's Lisa came in asking questions. That was so good.
Yeah, that was great.
Also, why does Andy pronounce it Louis Vuitton? Is that a cute way, or is that how rich people say it?
That's how you say it. When you're nervous, you might fall into a pit of water.
And
Louis Vuitton!
And Heather says it's exactly the same as all the fakes I've been carrying all these years, Andy. Ha ha. And I was like, okay, here's relatable Heather. She's going to be gone in about 60 seconds.
I know.
Well, it should be apparent to all of you, but I'm not going to assume, because you aren't the brightest bulbs in the Bravo universe, that Mary is not here with us tonight. Disappointing, to say the least.
Who? Mary. Who? Mary M. Cosby. Oh, right, Mary M. Cosby. Why don't you just say that? It's her name. It's Mary M. Cosby. No one says Mary.
Why didn't Mary come?
Whitney, because of you, probably because of you, Whitney, because you guys are so, like, crazy to her at all times. So Andy says that he spoke to her and was like,
"Well, she was pretty upset about everyone speaking behind her back about her church, and I encourage her to come and defend her church. Maybe she could throw someone in the pit of water. And she was very upset that you called her a predator, because she does not like that. She prefers the aliens of that Predator versus Alien franchise. She was stunned, and she kept bringing that back. What do you guys all think about that?"
"She doesn't even like Arnold Schwarzenegger. How could you?"
Whitney, well, please stop putting mud on yourself. There's no actual predator here.
And to be fair,
it is sexy, Andy. It is for our sex life.
It's like covered in mud. Justin's just like, "God, please let me out of this."
He's doing predator cosplay. It's part of our kink.
So to be fair about this, yeah, okay, I can get upset why you were mad that people were calling you a predator and your church a fake and all this, but they did try to say it to your face and you just kept walking away. So
Mary's a complicated issue. I wish she had been there, and I feel like she should have been there because it's part of her job. But it's like, man, I vacillate so back and forth on the Mary issue that I've decided I'm just not going to take a stand anymore.
I think she should have been there. It's her damn job. And I get that people are like, "Well, but they did this and they did that." We have a whole clip package of shit that Mary said, okay? And she should have to show up and defend herself, I think. I think this is bullshit, and I don't like it.
She should have to defend herself, and I think there's actually some ways that she could redeem herself, too, by the way.
Yeah, you know, we say, or especially me, like, I'm always on Jen Shah's ass since the beginning of season one. Like, she makes me freaking crazy. But I have to say, Jen Shah has really impressed me with how she has taken being a villain. Like, coming into the season, everyone was like, "Fuck her!"
Yeah.
And taking all this crime crap. I mean, she really has people liking, a lot of people like Jen Shah a lot now. I mean, you know, there are ways to rehab your image. Even Jen Shah did it. Make an effort. Yeah. Try.
I mean, I think Mary is just from a different space. Like, I think that she's there's been a lot of craziness in her life, and I don't know what it is, you know, but I think that, like, she seems incredibly guarded, and I mean, this sort of show is like not the normal place for someone who is like deeply guarded. And so it would have been nice if she came to the reunion and they could have like maybe had like by having someone, well, maybe by having like Andy, they could have like maybe brokered some like helpful communication as opposed to Whitney being like, Mary, do you like us? Do you like us? You know?
It's also, you know, she did herself a disservice because now they can say whatever they want.
Yes,
and they
that's
do.
True too.
You know, they just they say whatever they want. So then Andy keeps on Whitney. He's like, and you kept bringing it up. So what do you think? And she's like, but I tried to talk to her and she would not afford me the respect of a conversation. It's like,
example
okay.
A, right?
But she
here.
Also might have known that you called her cousin. Her cousin. I'm not sure if it really was her cousin. You called somebody who claimed to be her cousin. I mean, I don't know. You were calling people behind her back asking all these questions, too, so.
But every time also Whitney wanted to have a conversation with Mary, it was a trap, right? And Mary sensed that.
Well,
so,
mean, it's housewives.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but it's just funny because, like, here's Whitney sort of acting like a saint. Like, I tried to have the talk. I tried to be the mature one. It's like, you were just trying to – you were gonna try to trap her and have a scene, you know, right. And she picked up on that.
Yeah, but she knew you were going to call her church a cult because you had already called family members to get shit to use against her, Whitney. So clip it finale where Whitney is in her terrible miscolored ponytail. I can't. She's like, but Mary, come talk to me. And Mary's like, I can smell it on your breath. The alcohol. Ooh, the alcohol. And then we cut back and Heather's like, yeah, I wish she was here too. Because you know what? Mary really said a lot of insightful things in the interview room. And I just gained so much respect for Mary from watching the episodes. Like, she really has this weird ability to read people, like the Bible.
And Lisa's like, I don't think that Dr. Rock. So Heather's like, no, I think they are. I mean, like, Lisa doesn't even know how to be real. I thought that's the truest thing I've ever heard when she said that.
Oh, that's why you loved it. You're Tuck Spock. You're Tuck Spock. Okay.
Whatever so that means.
Heather's like, listen, she said things about me. She said things about Whitney, too.
And she's like, I know how to be real.
Yeah. I don't need to know how to be real. I am real.
Yeah. And Jenny is like, well, she called Whitney a whore. And then Heather's like, she called you a whore? And Whitney goes, the thing about Mary, Mary does have moments of great wisdom and insight. And so, like, now, like, some backpedaling. By the way, and the whole thing with Whitney and Mary is strange, too, because Whitney was like, I'm done with Mary. I'm done with Mary. I'm done with Mary. And then the final episode, she's like, no, I want to apologize. I want to apologize for everything. And now she's saying that Mary has great moments of wisdom and insight. I can't get a read on where Whitney stands with this whole Mary situation.
Whitney stands with Twitter, I think. I think Whitney was called a racist a lot on Twitter, and now she's saying nice things about Mary. So she'll get Twitter off her ass. That's what I think.
That's personally. Probably true, too.
But I also loved hearing how Lisa was like, I mean, she called Whitney a whore. A whore! The worst thing you could ever say about someone! Like, cut to the clip, please. At least I'm not a whore!
I know. I would never call someone that I love a whore or anyone.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Andy's like, well, I'm sorry she's not here. And Whitney goes, she is really not showing up? Like, I think that she's expecting a surprise reveal of Mary or something.
Like Mary's just going to jump out of the water. You know?
You're just gonna rise up like Esther Williams.
So Whitney's like, I'm sorry, Heather says, I mean, Meredith was her ride or die all season, and with everything that went down, I mean, Meredith could use as many people supporting her as possible, and now there's no one.
Yeah, just trying to drive a wedge in that relationship. Meredith's like, well, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not sure the show is very healthy for Mary, but I like having her support, so I'm just gonna have to give that a horrifying, a little bit of each, a little horrifying.
All right, well, let's move on. I want to start, Meredith, with you and Jen, because I haven't seen you in person since the last reunion, which is just my reminder to the greater audience, I'm not friends with any of these people, okay? Anything to say about me never calling you back? Great.
So you're facing conspiracy to commit wire fraud with a max of 30 years in prison and a conspiracy to commit money laundering with an additional 20 years. You're going to have to downsize into a shoebox and you can't even afford the IKEA, and the Penny Saver has revoked your subscription and the Penny Saver is free. How you doing?
I mean, Andy, wire fraud? I mean, so what? So I act out the wire in my living room badly. What are they trying to do to me, Andy? He's like, no, that's an HBO television show. This has way less of a budget, okay? Conspiracy to commit money laundering for an additional 20 years. So now I'm in trouble for doing laundry, Andy. They have to get me, Andy.
Honestly, this is devastating for me personally, but more so for my family, which I support. All of my family, the entire city of Salt Lake City. And I think that's why it's so hard for me. I mean, seeing the fail trip, I saw it real time with the rest of the world, and it broke my heart. I'm glad I didn't see all the things that were said until I watched it, because if I had known, we would have definitely turned that bus over on the way to Zion. And I'm not trying to say that I'm a violent person who maybe should be put in jail, but like, I am saying I probably would have, you know, attacked everyone and, you know, caused a giant automotive disaster on the highway.
I just laughed so hard some snot was coming out of my nose. I'm just checking my nostrils for anyone thinking I'm texting.
Any bats in the cave?
Yeah, just like, you just never want there to be like a little drip of snot, you know?
The worst. But I love the Jen. You want that just goes back and forth when you breathe and you're like itches and you're like, I know you're there and I don't have an appropriate time to take you out right now.
Yes. So I love that Jen is, of course, making herself the biggest victim in all of this. Jen, you were arrested by 3 security agencies, okay? People have a right to talk about that on the show. And she's making herself this big victim, but they sat her right in front of the fire. Did you notice that? Yes. So she's wearing this big villain thing, and there's literally flames shooting up behind her. I mean,
flames,
this is
on the
good
side
stuff
of my dress. So then Andy is like, so after the arrest, did you consider quitting the show?
Well, we did have a discussion, Coach and the boys, and I was like, no, I'm innocent, and I have to be famous. I need to tell my story, which is that there's no story to tell, of course, because I'm innocent.
Yeah. But how do your lawyers feel about being here today? She's like, have you seen my lawyers write a brief, Andy? They don't really have a lot of feelings about anything, okay? They're not really getting paid.
Have you, if anybody out there listens to this kind of stuff, you'll love the Bravo docket. Shout out to those ladies, because I was listening to the Jen Shah one. It's good. And then just, you know, like Ronald Richards on Twitter, not the best person. Okay, I'll say it. But he posts all this legal stuff, and Jen's lawyers, I mean, they're trying to subpoena personal emails between the lawyers and the client. Like, hello, who is your lawyer? Who are these
people? I'll tell you who my lawyer is. His name is Shane Simpson Esquire. Okay.
I now call this court to session. King of Logasm.
The defense is snarky. Thank you. So
the defense jests.
The defense would like to call to the stand, not caring so much.
Can we have the bailiff please bring me that evidence? No help! No help!
So, yeah, she's basically like, they did not want her to do this, but she's like, no. She goes, it's important to be here with the rest of the group of friends and show up. And show up. I'm like, you are like, I'm going to jail. I just want to be on TV as long as possible before it happens.
I love when people say that too, like, I just show up. That's what I do. I show up. Like, oh my God, you're so brave. The trial is March 22nd. And when they said that date, I put that shit in my iCal.
Yeah, I'm like, are we doing a show that weekend? I think we actually are.
I was like, have a show on the 19th. Now.
I just show up. You know what else shows up? Warts. So then Andy is like, well, that's really soon. Hey, you've got a trial that could determine the rest of your life, and that's so soon, huh? She's like, enough, Andy.
Well, I want to start with something a little lighter.
How is that? You just started with the least light thing you could. How many times you get to start?
I know. Jen began the season on an apology tour, and then we get a montage of Jen being like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Brooks, will you take this apology? Meredith, will you apologize? Mr. Jamba Juice, I apologize.
Do you feel like you apologize more than the other women? She's like, definitely, Andy.
I mean, you also do more fucked up shit than the other women.
That's true, too.
In general. But I also agree that Meredith really laid it on thick this year with,
you terrorize my toddler, my poor baby, you terrorize.
I mean, how many times do you need to apologize to Brooks?
So Marge from Lake Geneva says, Heather, you thought Jen's apology was sincere enough to move on, but I wouldn't be able to move on after being called Shrek or Honey Boo Boo. How can you? And she's like, oh, well, you know, it was a bad joke, and that she said behind my back to a random person, and I would rather deal with someone who makes bad jokes and low-hanging fruit, and I enjoy and like, you know, I'm sorry, someone who makes bad jokes but who I like, that I can get over it. And I got over it, and I think she's deeply sorry about the things that she said, aren't you?
Yeah, she goes, do you think I look like Honey Boo Boo? First of all, can we take Honey Boo Boo out of this conversation? What did Honey Boo Boo ever do to anybody except be adorable?
Our brand. She's not our brand. She's DLC.
Yeah, but she's like cute. Like, leave Honey Boo Boo alone, okay? That's not the same as Shrek. Okay, Shrek is way worse, okay? Let's not put Honey Boo Boo in the same conversation. Yeah, but Shrek's an ogre. You know what I mean? Like, he's literally an ogre.
Did we learn nothing from the Shrek movies about beauty, etc.? Did we learn nothing about that big twist? I don't want to spoil anything 20 years later, but Fiona, okay? Did we learn nothing that ogres can be beautiful and that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay?
Yeah, but still, like, leave Honey Boo Boo alone, okay? I stand by that. I stand by it.
I just say leave Honey Boo Boo out of it because I just don't want to hear about Honey Boo Boo.
I do. I'm like, where is she? What's she doing? What, you know, her mom was fucked up, but like, what happened to her? Like, poor thing. I feel for Honey Boo Boo.
I'll tell you, for some reason, I don't know why, but I watch one of the Honey Boo Boo shows, like, cause like she's still on, and it's like, cause I think her name is Elena or something like that. And I watched a show where it's like, she's still doing a show, and it's like her and her friend. And like her sister, I don't know why I watched it. I literally don't know how it got into my brain, but I watched it, and it was stupid. And so that's why I'm resentful.
Well, I didn't even know she still had a show. So there goes.
Yeah, I think if you watched the show, I think you'd be like, you know what, I'm done with Honey Boo Boo.
I'd be like, fuck Honey Boo Boo, fuck her.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see. Whitney's like, well, I mean, oh, Jen says, I just called you Shrek because you were acting like an ogre with me. It's like, wow, nice save 2 years later. And Whitney's like, don't you remember? I was Donkey. But that's been your nickname since high school, Whitney. Okay? That doesn't count.
And Jenna's like, but you know who else was talking a bunch of other stuff? Okay, I'm the one who always gets called out about it. I'm the one. Ronnie, I did the finger thing, just like you. I'm the one who always gets called out.
You do the most fucked up shit on Twitter. I would say you tell people off the most viciously on Twitter, which is usually why she gets in trouble on the show, right? It's not even for stuff that actually happens on the show. She can throw things. She can get physical. No one cares. They always go back to our good housewife, Social Media, to get mad at things. So he's like, why are you looking at Lisa? And Lisa goes, I never called Heather Shrek. And she does that little shoulder thing like, I'm so much better than you. I never called anyone Shrek.
Yeah. And Heather goes, but you call me horrible things, Lisa. You call me a Lego figurine. And by the way, I just want to point out that, like, while Meredith loves saying horrified, I think Heather's big buzzword is horrible. She actually says that all the time. She's like, I went to the library and there was a horrible wait to get the book that I wanted. It's horrible.
Horrible. So she's like, you called me a Lego. And Lisa's like, I did not. She's like, well, you've called friends here that you've had for 10 years a fucking piece of shit garbage whore, and I think I would rather be called Shrek than any of the things you called your friend of 10 years. You know what, Heather? Mind your own fucking business. This whole reunion, again, is Heather going off about, it's like tattletaling on everybody. It's like, yeah, but you did this to her, and you did this to her. Let her have her own thing. Let her have her own show. Move off the stage, please, ma'am.
It was a horrible way to interfere. So Lisa's like, okay, well, you know what? That was in a rage in my room, and we'll address that, okay? And well, that was so ugly. That does not come out in a rage, Lisa. That is the Lisa Barlow I have known since day one, Andy. And I said, you're going to reveal yourself, and you finally did. The curtains were pulled back, and it's very ugly, and dare I say, horrifying. Horrible.
I knew this would happen. I knew it. Listen, I had one moment. One moment, okay? Just, you called your best friend of 10 years a piece of shit garbage whore. And that's the smallest of the things you said. But I'll preserve a small part of everyone's dignity here by not repeating every line right at once. I'll dole them out as we go. I'll dole them out.
Hey, so did you call her a Lego figure?
I never did. Okay. I got sent a picture from their best friend that had said that had her and said, like, this looks like Heather. Okay. And basically it's a picture, a text from Angie, with a giant picture of a Lego man, like a huge, like two-story
like
Lego man.
Up. Yeah, yeah. Like a blow up Lego man.
And Lisa wrote below it, cast reveal.
I didn't see that part. So she's like, yeah, a friend sent that to me. And Heather's like, yeah, well, you said it. And that's how we know about it, through our friend. She goes, you know what? I'll show you all of our texts if you want to see them. I'll show you all of them. And they're of course, all through Andy. I mean, through Angie, which is so funny because Heather and Whitney are caping for Angie this whole time.
Yeah, it sounds like Heather. I wasn't sure the state of Lisa and Angie, but it sounds like that relationship is on the fritz at the moment.
Oh,
and
that
now
was
Angie
gone with
has,
the catering scandal. That was over.
But I thought that maybe it might have like repaired itself. I mean, I still am like very confused as to why we are not seeing more Angie on the show. There were like some rumors that came out a few weeks ago that like she's actually terrible. Like her stepdaughter hates her and yada yada. I'm like, yeah, that's why.
Stepson.
Like, stepson. Yeah. I don't remember what.
Well,
what
the it
child
was something
was,
like but... it was supposedly a friend of the stepson who she came on the Angie came on the show like, I have a trans son and that's why I stand for blah blah blah, and supposedly a friend, but there's no proof of this, so obviously it's just internet stuff. So the friend was saying, you know, the son hates her and she's not supportive at all, and he would be he's mortified that she's using him like this on the show.
I mean, I hear that Angie's a terrible stepmother and is lying and has a facade, and I'm like, that to me sounds like
cast
member material.
You're cast.
Like, congratulations.
Yeah.
Why
just
are we
you
not
a contract.
Seeing more?
Like, sorry, there's no writer on it, but it's the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
What's going on here? What are we missing? What like? Thank you. That was an endorsement. That was like someone just wrote a referral for Angie to be on the show.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah, something must have happened because that was weird.
I think something must have happened because she was only on for a few episodes, and in those episodes, like, it was great. I really enjoyed her, but oh well.
Yeah, and then remember when she got all drunk at Heather's event? She got like fall Hello down her. Drunk right away. I mean, come on, guys. So I don't know what really happened, but I want
something,
to.
It must have been something bad.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't think Lisa Barlow is that powerful because most people are like, Lisa did it. It's because she didn't get along with Lisa. They would. Are you kidding? That's like a number one reason to cast her.
Yeah, I
so
agree.
Anyway, so Heather's like, oh, Angie showed us all the texts because we're friends with Angie now. And Lisa's like, oh, really? Does she show her husband calling you trash and you trash Whitney? And she's like, yeah, we've talked about all of it because we just spent a week in Cabo with her and her husband because they are authentic people and they only felt that way about us because of the horrible things you said about us.
The horrible things you said about him. Horrible, Ronnie. Horrible. And she's like, I never talked to them about you guys. You've been revealed, Lisa, so own it. Own it, Lisa.
Lisa, you're such a fucking liar, too. You've never talked about them. You just whipped out your phone with multiple texts. One of them making fun of Heather being a Lego person. Like, how are you even saying with a straight face you never talked about them? So she's like, I will own what I do and what I say 100%, mostly because it's all trademarked, bitch. And Andy's like, wait a minute, is the Lego figurine bad?
Because that kind of body type really works in the gay community.
No, because when I heard Lego figurine, I was like, oh my god, that's like my dream.
That's like so hot, like just a hard, blocky man. So then Heather's
yeah,
like,
I got a boner in Legoland there. not the place, the movie. Was it called Legoland?
Oh, God. The theme park is Legoland.
The Lego movie, probably. You can't say you got a boner at Legoland. Oh, my God. I'm going to be arrested. I didn't mean it that way. I meant the movie, the film.
I'm horrified by that. So how could you say that my toddler is watching? So
Cut
Heather's like,
Cut that out.
This is why Angie got fired. She made a Legoland joke, didn't she? She's like, let's get drunk at Legoland. We have to fire her. So yeah. Heather's like, well, she meant it because my body is too square. And Whitney goes, that's body shaming. I love Whitney always, like, she loves to gild the lily, right? She just loves to make
Heather
sure.
Heather and Whitney, bad weather. They're a team, you know? And so Heather goes, yeah, that's a thing for her. And Lisa's like, I don't fat shame or body shame you. I think you look great, Heather. They made a whole movie about Lego people, and the main song is called Everything is Awesome. You should try being as positive as your people, Heather. I'm sorry, I didn't mean your people. I meant those people. Those people.
Thanks for saving Gotham. Oh, my God, I am not Lego Batman. So Andy's like, well, after the apology to Brooks, you seemed okay with Jen, Meredith. What made you pull away again? She's like, well, first of all, what I would like to accomplish today with Jen is a peaceful space. I would like to get out of this revolting space, rather revolting. And Jen's like, well, I've been trying to get to a peaceful space for a while, too. I want a peaceful space, too. Because, of course, Jen's going to, like, want a peaceful space, you know?
So she goes, yeah.
Well, for starters, I'd like to apologize to you for hurting you and my family, including my little baby toddler, Brooks. You can go to sleep now, baby, and for anything that I said.
I mean, she gives this whole monologue, basically. She talks about her dad dying during COVID, and she couldn't even see him. She had to be behind a glass. She only saw him
on
FaceTime.
She's sobbing.
Yeah, I mean,
sobbing.
This is all
I'm
really
sad. I'm a little bit clamped.
Yeah. And Lisa's like both rolling her eyes that she's apologizing to Jen, but also like, do you need a tissue, whore? While this is all going on. And it's really sad. I'm not going to like mock her dad dying or anything. And no. She's just basically like, listen, I went through a lot and I was in a state of immense. And, you know, you should know. She was telling them, you know, that my reactions were just amplified a million times over. And she was insane. She watched a season back and realizes that she was completely insane.
And Jen is very happy about this monologue because she's able to retroactively use it to exonerate herself from last season. She goes, well, I totally understand, Meredith, because when I saw you, I saw myself a year ago with exactly how I responded and reacted because I was grieving and I didn't know if I could get better until I went through all of that. So therefore, case dismissed in the court of public opinion versus Jen Shaw.
Yes. And you know what else you'll see if you watch last season? You acting just like you were acting this season. The reason Meredith kept going crazy was because you were in her face constantly. And if you weren't in her face, wagging your finger and standing above her while she's sitting down, screaming about her calling the FBI on you, you were feeding it into Lisa's ear because there's no coincidence. It can't be a coincidence that Jen said word for word about Meredith what Lisa said behind that door. Like, at least I'm not a whore. At least I'm not some whore who's fucked half of the Upper West Side of New York City. It's like, oh, okay. Now we see where that came from.
Well, seeing how everything unfolded and the information that was given to Jen, or I should say the misinformation, a zing, pause for zinging, okay? She's actually pretty kind at the end of the day. Twists. Plot twists. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. With your marriage last year and then with your dad and everything, I would kind of hold back, you know? I mean, I was holding back, you know?
You were holding back? Oh my God, is anyone buying this shit? Like, people must have the memories of goldfish if they're buying this shit. When were you holding back?
She was holding back. When you say people have the memories of goldfish, I just think of Whitney, like our resident goldfish. Bop, 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 bop. So Andy goes, do you think that she treated you better than your friend? Basically saying, do you think that Jen treated you better than Meredith? And Meredith goes, I'm sorry, than Lisa. And Meredith goes, yes. And Lisa goes, oh. Oh,
I feel like in a weird way, we're rewriting history. And like, I'm happy you guys are in a really good place right now. But like, what's really weird for me for the last year, like that, like this has not been working. It's been like disjointed and horrible. And I've been like in the middle of it, not touching anything, despite repeated questions and requests to touch.
And now we're like, kumbaya. And Jen's like, but I thought that's what you wanted, Lisa. I thought you wanted that.
And no, of course she doesn't, because now you're all made up, which means you can all come against her together at the same time. I mean, look, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong at a reunion. You've got to have a team. And Lisa seems to have gotten herself into a place where everybody hates her. Like, you're not going to win. It doesn't matter if you're factually correct or not, which you only are about 25% of the time anyway. But good luck.
Good luck. I think also Lisa, they're realizing Lisa's the reunion punching bag, because this actually happened to her last year too. Like, they just come in, they realize, you know what the easiest thing to do is? Let's just all go for Lisa.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So she's like, well, I have to be perfect all the time. I'm out to a different bar, which is funny because that's what Jen's argument. And they all believe this. They all believe that no one has their back and they all have to be, they're all held to a higher standard.
Yes. And she goes, I mean, you know, I had that one moment, that one bad moment. I mean, what would we, you know, now everybody says your character is horrible. I mean, what if we just erased that? What if we did, you know? I mean, I was in the moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's what defines your character.
That's right. So now we go to break and we come back.
Actually, I take that back. I'm going to roll back on that because I do a lot of dumb things. Okay.
I feel like you're really rewriting history right now.
Literally, yeah. I started thinking about my own history and I was like, take that back immediately.
So we come back and Andy asks Jenny what it means to be an immigrant woman of color in Salt Lake City. So she says that it was very difficult growing up. You know, she was grew up in Long Beach where there was a lot of diversity, and being an immigrant, she's like, you know, I have a very heavy accent and people don't respect that, you know, like that they always say like, oh, you live in America, you have to learn how to communicate. And she's like, I communicate fine. It's just that, you know, I have an accent. It doesn't mean I don't know how to communicate.
Yeah. And Andy's like, Lisa, what made you think Jenny would fit in with this group? Why'd you bring her on the show? And she's like,
I mean, since we met Jenny, when our boys were little, I just thought she was so fun and funny. And I love when our families get together. And Dewey adjusted Henry when he was just 2 months old.
And everyone's like, whoa.
She said 2 weeks old originally. She said 2 weeks old. Everyone's like, what? 2 weeks old. And Jenny's like, no, 2 months old, which is still kind of crazy.
That was crazy. So he's like, Meredith, what do you think when Jenny tried to get you and Jen to make up? Was she overstepping? It's just, well, hold on, let me look down and shake my hand. This is very important that I get the drama. Hold on. I felt that she was. She was, you know, she just had a lot to say.
All right, I'm going to put 4 words in a scrambled order, and you figure out what I have to say. Rather was revolting.
So then, revolting. My 4 words are revolting.
All right. It's my new word game called Myrtle. And I have to guess my sentence. So Andy is like, he's like, Heather and Whitney, you accused Lisa of pulling the puppet strings this season. Do you think Lisa manipulated Jenny into fighting some of her battles? And Heather's like, I do. And Jenny's like, I'm not her minion, okay? When you said that out on the after show, I was taken aback, okay? I'm her friend, and she will not control what I do. Settle down, Jenny. Okay, sorry, I'm going to settle down.
I would never try to make her do anything. I said, you've seen the show. Have your own judgments. Remember the beginning of the season where Angie was on and then she messed with me and now she's not on. Okay, I would never make her do anything, Andy. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like, so you did watch the show, Jenny, which at least she's honest, because most people are like, nope, never watched a show till I came on it. Had no idea. I mean, what?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, what makes you guys think that Lisa has the power to tell me I should or shouldn't do something? And Heather said, well, I see Jenny's in a tough position because, you know, she is Lisa's friend and Lisa has horrifying expectations of her, horrible expectations of her. And she's very controlling. And I was worried that you were going to get motivated to do what she was manipulating her to do.
You're narrating me. Don't do that. Don't narrate me. Don't do it. Don't narrate me.
Lisa tells the group not to narrate her. Continue.
Lisa Barlow crosses her legs in front of an odd pond.
Stop that!
She resists, yelling stop that to the ladies. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Lisa resists the urge to tell Heather that she's the one who would have minions. Despicable me.
Hey! Stop narrating me being a batch!
Lisa nods her head. Jenny sees the nod, gets up, brings her a glass of water. Lisa denies manipulation.
Don't narrate me!
So Lisa's like, what did I make her do? What did I even need her to do? And Heather's like, when you need her, you need her. And when you don't, you dismiss her. And I think Jenny felt that way too, but she won't say it because she's a loyal friend.
You know what? You know what you do? I want to say something really quickly. I want to say something.
Are you talking to bad weather right now? Sorry, I'm talking over you too. Because it's bad.
Please stop talking over narrating.
It's bad.
Okay, too much narration.
Lisa's speaking.
Okay, bad weather.
Lisa's trying to speak.
I want to say something bad weather. Okay, here we go. Okay, I don't want. Okay,
she doesn't want. She doesn't want.
I don't want. I will say it again. I will say it again. Okay. Thank you for not narrating me. Okay. Nor do I control anyone through manipulation or any other tactics. I have no tactics. You use the word minions. So if someone stands up for me, they're like the bad guy. Okay. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
She's clapping. She's like, I don't like that. So Heather's like, I'm not saying it for an advantage. I say it because, like, I like Jenny. She's like, and you don't like me. And Whitney's like, sorry if I called you a minion, Jenny. Sorry.
Yeah. Whitney is like trying to have, like, I'm like the bigger person moment, you know?
Yes.
Like,
it's ridiculous. So Meredith's
I just realized she's not trying to be the bigger person. She's just trying to follow through. Like, it's bad to call people Shrek and to call people a Lego and obviously to call people a minion. It's like, no, we're not talking about that cartoon. We're out of the cartoons.
I mean, I have the cup, the collector cup from McDonald's. I would never.
You know what? I realized Despicable Me is me. I'm despicable in this moment. Okay,
you know who's despicable? Me driving a Fiat, okay? It was a thing that happened one time, and I will never get the image of myself out of my head. Giant man, tiny car, okay? So Meredith is like, I have Andy and Meredith in the same line. I got confused. She's like, well, I do think there is some level of control that goes on. Moreover, about Lisa's life, more of what you shouldn't be doing to respect her space.
So you're saying Lisa wants people to respect her space? Throw her in the pool. Just throw her ass in the pool.
In the pool.
Little monster.
You know what? It's, you know what? Six women enter, five women leave, one's in the pool. Okay, that's a variation on.
Wait, that is so much math.
So Andy's like, okay, I want to talk about something serious. This season, Mary made a lot of racially insensitive remarks, and the fans were outraged. We all were outraged. The comments were ignorant, intolerant, and hurtful. And to Lisa about Jan and Vale, she said. So we now see like some of Mary's ungreat moments. Where she talks about, where she says, like, when I see Jen, I think I see a thug, you know, those Mexican people who make all those drugs. And she's talking, and then we see the clip of the slanted eyes and the yellow tones, all, and like, then her doing the accent, like, all the stuff that's really not great.
Yeah.
Racially insensitive and problematic, what one would actually even say.
Yes.
And should say.
And then, and racist.
Also.
So then,
I don't know why I'm sugarcoating. I'm being like all delicate. Well, yeah, it's not good.
Not good. So then, let's see here. Jenny talks. First of all, do you think Andy is just so sick of this? Because it's every reunion for how many years now? Every reunion, Andy's like, all right, now for the racism segment.
I know, right?
Like every single time, it's like,
some racist asshole, like, every season, which is becoming, like, a weird thing that makes me wonder.
Makes me wonder, are we doing this on purpose, guys? Because it's literally every season.
Or it's just a sad commentary on the state of our country.
Which is
that you can't hire seven people without one person being racist.
That's that is absolutely the truth.
That is actually probably more the truth.
Yes.
So then, so Andy brings up this stuff. This is all, like, very serious stuff, and it's not good. And Jenny says it's hurtful because she's a minority and I'm a minority and we're supposed to support each other.
And Meredith,
it's very rich, by the way, considering the cartoons that Jenny then puts out. She's not wrong, but it's also like it goes both ways.
It does. And I'm not paying Jenny that kind of mind at this point. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't want to disregard anything she's saying, because what she's saying in this moment is actually true.
Absolutely.
And obviously, I don't want to make fun of it. And I really don't like Jenny and think she's, like, a lower tier housewife in general. So it's just, like, a whole mix of no for me. That's what this is.
I think that's, you know what? I'm going to co-sign that. A whole mix of no.
Yeah, no, I can't.
But about
so
what
then
she,
Andy is like, well, Meredith, at lunch, it seemed like you gave Mary a pass. And Meredith's like, well, I assume you say when I defended her, you mean at the Cinco de Mayonnaise party? That was actually offensive, too. Oh, sorry. I don't even know.
Yeah. And, Jenny was like, at the luncheon, you made, like, Mary made fun of my accent, and you both sat there and laughed. And Meredith goes, I did not laugh. It was a grimace. Like McDonald's. I get that. See, we are friends. See? Now, I was horrified and uncomfortable. And I said, no characters, because I was trying to give a reminder to her that it was not okay in a very subtle, quiet, and understated way.
Right. And Jenny's like, but then at Whitney's event, and Andy's like, hold on, I'm going to interrupt you too. At the confrontation at Whitney's party, you were asked about Mary's slanted eyes comment, and you didn't say anything, Meredith. And then we see a clip of her saying, well, I mean, it's not something I would say, but I don't know if it would be offensive or not. I just wouldn't say it.
Yeah, and she's basically like, well, my understanding, and going into that moment, that's like when you're dealing with a comment that is prejudicial, you're supposed to look to the party affected by it to get a cue, and if I could do it again, I would have just said yes to the dress. And the reason I didn't say yes is because before I was asked if is it offensive, Jenny responded to the same question and said, well, it's inappropriate. I got nervous that I was not being respectful to your views. And Jenny's like, I did say it was inappropriate, but I said that was preceded by it was racist, it was offensive, and it was inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, Meredith, nice try on this one. The truth is, in my guesstimation, Mary was loyal to you. You were loyal to Mary. You teamed up no matter what, even though Mary just kept falling all over herself. You refused to say anything. It's a housewife thing. We've seen it multiple times. But for you to take that and turn it around now into, well, my understanding is that dealing with sensitive subjects with other races, you yield to the other race's feelings, and that's what I was doing.
When Mary said fucked up things, that's crazy. You can't into that. You're being sensitive by ignoring.
She's turning it into she's being racially sensitive by ignoring the fucking racism. Like,
well, I think that I actually think that what Meredith was trying to say was like, look, she didn't. I think she didn't want to be white-splaining in that moment. I think that's sort of what she wanted to say, which is like, if Mary says, "Is this offensive?" I don't think she wanted to be like, "It's offensive because this and that." Da 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 da. You know, I think that's what I'm assuming she was trying to get at, but she didn't really say that. So, and ultimately her reasoning she gave, Jenny's like, yeah, but I said it was racist. So it's not a good moment, Meredith.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, I mean, it didn't seem to be a question whether or not she was wrong. I mean, you just can't say slant. I'm not even going to say it. All right. It's horrible. Heather, you said Jenny looked like an anime character. What was that about?
Heather's like, well, it was not wasn't because you're Asian, and I realized it's terrible that it came out that way. It's terrible. But you were wearing a vinyl corset and you looked like a cartoon and so therefore, you know, of all the cartoon characters I could have picked, I chose anime, that's all. And Lisa's like, and she looked gorgeous. Okay. Hi, baby gorgeous anime character.
And Jenny's like, yeah, but look, I like the compliment. I just don't like the labeling. You know, being a minority and a woman of color. And Andy's like, well, curious, if you saw the season back, Meredith, do you have any regrets about going so hard for Mary or not speaking up more? I'm giving you a chance to take it, Meredith. And she's like, well, I regret that moment, of course. And then I texted Jenny a couple of days later, but, you know, I
texted her a couple days later to make sure she knew I felt horribly. She had gone through that and she had my support. And then the text is like, how are you doing? Tuesday was intense and I'm sorry you had to experience those feelings. I'm like, I don't know if that really translates to that, but fine.
Yeah, with like a link to a Brooks Marks sweatsuit. So Jenny's like, you know, you defend Mary every time I try and say anything. And at the spa, she said she's not comfortable, you know, talking to me about her husband. She doesn't even know me. You should have said she's trying to open up to you. Okay, well, that's where I think you're going too far. Mary had the absolute right to not talk to you and to walk away from you. And
absolutely. Was it socially awkward? Yes, but it was also within her rights.
Yeah, she told, how many times does someone need to say, I don't like you?
Meredith's like, well, course, I'm, yeah.
You know.
But Meredith's like, well, I'm not her keeper. She's an adult woman, okay, and she's capable of being an adult and doing things like babysitting small toddlers like Brooksy.
And Jenny's like, but you're her friend. You should have turned to her and said, oh, you can't be rude to Jenny. Oh, really? Did any of your friends say you shouldn't throw glasses at people? I don't remember that. I remember everybody fucking applauding you. So can we please stop? Like,
yeah. So and then Heather's like, well, I stood up for you every time she came after you. And Meredith says, Jenny, maybe that's because I felt under attack by you the entire season. And Jenny's like, wait, how did I attack you? Well, you made all these judgments and never once asked me a question the entire time.
And she says, what judgments? And this I really liked because it's calling Jenny out on just being a phony, right? Which I liked. She's like, let's start with. That's never a good way to hear a discussion, right?
Let's start with. Ice fishing in the car with Lisa. You said, I've known Meredith for a little while now.
She goes, well, my definition of a little while is my own definition of a little while. And Andy's like, let her speak, please. And she's like, you said, I've known Meredith a little while now, and she tends to ice people out when there's conflict. I met you 1 week before, Jenny. All right. Now, I don't know how that meeting you one time at a party is enough for you to know that I ice people out. Which I liked, because Jenny is acting like she's known Lisa for years, and she's also, by proxy, known Meredith, which,
right,
not true.
It's probably because Jenny was basing some of this off of what she saw in season one. So she's like, you always assigned to take and misinterpret a lot of things I said and create a lot of problems between me and Jen, where I thought we were in a peaceful spot. And so and she's like, and you made this into something it wasn't. You never asked me. I saw you with your husband, and you know, you were saying, why wouldn't you call the police about the text messages? Well, why didn't you ask me if I call the police? Okay, I have a police report, Jenny. Not only did I call the police, I played bad boys. What you gonna do when I called them?
I have a police report. Also, a picture of me sitting in a police car pressing a button to make the sirens go, whoa, whoa. How dare you, Jenny?
I was literally wearing a yellow overcoat from my favorite movie, Dick Tracy, to emphasize how much I was into making this police report.
And I am totally Meredith's side on this. Jenny was completely crazy going and starting all of this shit every chance she could. Like, well, guess what Meredith said? She called an investigator on you. So that's all. Jenny's wrong in that, and she can't get out of it. So she just starts going, are you done? Are you done? Classic.
And to be fair, they've all been as messy as Jenny, but
Of course, it's Housewives, right? Like, it's Housewives. But in this specific argument, yeah, Jenny was totally the messy one. So Meredith's like, all right, well, am I done? Well, what else can we go to? Oh, here's one. Here's a good one. You're so offended by Mary's gift because you thought it was used, and your culture's very offended by that. Yet my husband received used golf balls as a birthday gift from you.
I was like, wow, the used golf ball defense.
Wow.
So
that
was like,
a big one.
When Meredith decides she's going to get petty, because that's one thing. Meredith does not like to be petty like that. But when she decides she's going to do, like, okay, I'm bringing, all right, Seth, I said, if Jenny starts with me today, I'm bringing up the golf ball, so help me God. So
and you love it because Seth is messy too, because how would Meredith know? You know what I mean? Seth came home and was like, those golf balls were used, like they had marks on them or something.
What? After all, she's anima.
I just love the golf ball drama in the Marks household.
It's rather revolting. So Andy's just cracking up. He's like, did your husband give used golf balls? And Jenny's like, I gave used golf balls? She's like, like not really answering. And Meredith goes, I can donate them to that clubhouse if you like. And he's like, I don't think they're iconic enough. It's rejected.
That was so funny. So Andy,
M from M's wants to know, Lisa, did it surprise you to see Meredith so tolerant of Mary's ignorance?
Okay, so Lisa's like, you know what? That's a great question. So let me think about it for a moment. Let me think about how I'm going to answer that.
It's a yes or no.
Lisa just keeps opening her mouth really, really wide and then closing it again.
I was shocked that Meredith wasn't more vocal, but I do know that Meredith does not like unacceptable behaviors, so I was shocked she wasn't as vocal as I normally would expect.
Can I speak to that? Can I speak?
Everyone just keeps interrupting Lisa the whole time, and Heather whispers, this is bullshit. To Whitney. And Meredith is like, every relationship has a different dynamic, basically. So she's like, I speak to Mary one-on-one about things constantly. She knows where I stand.
And Andy goes, well, what good is it if you don't call her out in front of other women or on camera where we could have a viral moment that could be seen on BravoTV.com?
It means nothing if we can't capitalize on it with commercials.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, did the tree still get a boob job?
If the tree fell in the forest but it wasn't on TV, did the boob job turn into an elbow job? What the hell's going on with trees? Am I right?
And Meredith's like, well, there's plenty on... I'm doing Meredith voice and Andy. Well, there's plenty on camera. So Akilah from LA says, we all agree Mary was wrong for mocking your accent, Jenny. But when are you going to address and take accountability for the fact that you constantly use a black scent, you roll your neck and wag your finger and other stereotypical depictions of black women when you talk to or about Mary? And then we get the Jenny black scent montage. I was like, ooh.
I didn't notice a black scent. Did you? I mean, I did. You did.
I'm not just saying that to make myself sound cool, but I noticed it more with her confessionals. She's always like, girl, she was doing sort of those things.
But that's and what Jen does, like, all the time too.
Yeah, but I definitely noticed it on Jenny, and I thought, like, I wasn't sure how much of it was like, was she putting on a black scent, or is it she is from Long Beach, you know? And so, like, you know, it's just, you know, it's like pattern she just like grew up around. I wasn't sure, but I always thought it was like a little. To me, it struck me more like she doesn't only seem to do it in the confessionals. That felt like a weird dichotomy. Like, okay, like stop like trying to do this thing in a confessional. But in the recent weeks, it's become more, you know, it seems like it's become more of a part of the discussion around Jenny overall.
Well, yeah, and, you know, especially knowing what we know now, looking at a lot of those scenes from before, especially like her just jumping all down Mary's throat, you know, the first time when she went. When she got so mad, you know,
right.
Like now everything looks a little different later.
Everything does, which is why we've said that, like, sort of in retrospect, like maybe, you know, we've noticed like maybe Mary was picking up on something that, like, at least I personally didn't see right out the gate.
Yeah. So then we go to, she basically says she grew up in Long Beach, and so she doesn't understand how people say she uses a black accent because she just has an accent, period. And she's like, do you guys see that? I mean, do you guys think I have a black accent? I mean, come on, everybody. And everyone just kind of stares. They're like,
they're like, what is that?
Yeah, they're like, I'm not answering that. So Andy's like, so Jenny, you threw a glass at Mary. And she nods like proudly. And he goes, is that a little bit hypocritical that you reprimand Mary for being violent with her words when you're violent with your actions?
And she's like, well, I didn't throw it at Mary. I threw it at the floor. And if I wanted to hit Mary, I would have hit Mary. Like, would you like to throw something into the water pit? This is your chance.
I mean, she's ridiculous. You threw it at Mary, and it landed on the ground right by Mary, who was walking away from you. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge, you know, anything but your terrible sportsmanship. No, I'm just kidding. I'm here to judge you. But you threw
it at Mary. But also, isn't throwing it at the floor also just violent, too? It sort of doesn't change the question, right? So Andy's like, do you like Mary? She goes, no. And the reason why I don't like her is because she didn't like me.
And Jen's like, well, I will say that when we went tubing, you really did go hard on Mary. And I was like, whoa. And she goes, yeah, but it wasn't at Mary. I said, shut the fuck up to all of you and let's have some fun. You fucking liar. No, that is not how it happened. You eventually yelled at them all. But yes, you were yelling at Mary the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, well, it's not funny, but at that time, I understood it. She was just like, oh my God, these two are squabbling and like, let's just have fun. And I'm just having a bad day. Like, shut the fuck up. Let's have fun. But now, again, in retrospect, everything is like, has a slightly different context, you know?
And so also Jenny, that day, Mary was being snotty to Jenny first. Like, that's how it kind of started. Jenny made a comment and then Mary got snotty and then Jenny just went way over the top with it.
Right.
At least in my memory. So then, she's like, but I apologized when I did her makeup that day. And Jen's like, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's Mary M. Cosby. And she goes, yeah, because it just didn't stop. And Heather's like, yeah, you know what? It didn't stop there, which makes me think that there's something in Mary that's racist because it didn't stop there, which of course Heather is saying because Mary on Twitter called Heather racist. So now Heather is going to come on the reunion when Mary's not there to call her racist against, I mean,
I don't think it was racism for Mary to be like, you know what? I just don't fuck with Jenny. You know, that's not racism. That's just like, I just don't like her, you know? And so,
there could have been a little bit there. Like, who knows? We have no idea, but leave it up to Heather to be like,
I think I would have, I think Mary's racist maybe at most, yeah. But I think say like full on racism. I don't know, but you know. So Andy is like, well, I did speak to her and she told me she didn't think black people were capable of being racist. And then Jenny, this is how they end the segment, which I thought was telling because I think that Bravo ended it like this. I think this is actually their little editorial moment. Jenny goes, oh, they are. Everyone is capable of being racist. It was like this moment of like everyone's capable of being racist. And then it kind of just like goes to commercial. I was like, that was Bravo being like, you know?
Yeah. So then when we come back, we get to mess, just general mess. Like some people were putting extra muscle into making a mess. And then we get an Angie section where Angie is just starting so much shit. We've been asked to host parties at the restaurant by Lisa's assistant. And they said, we can't do your party now. And Whitney going, Lisa, yeah, Lisa is sabotaging you.
My favorite fight of 2021, Catergate. I love this fight. So Andy is like, by a show of hands, who here thinks that Lisa is the pot stirrer of the group? And pretty much everyone raises their hands except for Jenny.
Yes. I didn't plant a bug. Because Whitney's like, you planted a bug in Jen's ear. I didn't plant a bug. And Jen's like, you know what? I mean, I'm like, you know, look, here's the shitsters. One's on that couch and one's on this couch. And she's on the couch with Whitney and Heather. You're all shitsters. I mean, come on. And Whitney's like, well, I think Lisa does a brilliant job of stirring the pot. And I always take the baton.
So she's basically saying, I'm gullible as fuck.
Yes.
I always fall for it. Well, I'll be real honest. I feel like I was playing the fool. I'm like, wait, Meredith, you weren't even part of this. Is one thing you were not part of is the cater gate. And Lisa goes, so do I. And Andy goes, well, who played you as a fool? Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So then he's like, okay, Lisa, how do you explain the timeline of a catering debacle? Your assistant called, then the caterers pulled out. I mean, that seemed a little fishy. And she pulls out a humongous folder. It's like this big, okay? And so she's like, no, I did not. No, that didn't happen. Listen, I don't have an assistant, first of all. I don't have an assistant that would call Angie's caterers. My employees work for Vita. So I was like, oh, okay, okay. So we're going to play that. I don't have an assistant. Well, it's my employees at Vita.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you do have 7 lawyers. Let's talk about the timeline, okay? Great book by Michael Crichton. Okay, next topic. And then Whitney is like, I saw the text on Angie's phone. And Heather's like, Angie's the only person that has stood up to you and not conspired with you. And then we see the text from Angie, which are like, would you be interested in catering an event? It will be on TV. It's a secret. They said we'd love to. Heads up, Lisa reached out to us to come to the restaurant to shoot as well. And then they said, I'm not sure we can do multiple shoots, but I think so. So then Angie said, don't tell Lisa.
Yeah, so Angie said it's a secret and don't tell Lisa. Both things are shady as fuck. So I don't know what Angie's trying to prove by showing people those texts. And they never said yes. They said, we're not sure. We can do multiple shoots, but we think so. But everybody is acting like this is concrete proof of something.
Right. It's not. And so Lisa's like, yeah, that was weird when she said, don't tell Lisa. And Andy goes, well, why do you think she didn't want them to tell you? And Whitney goes,
Me. I have an answer. I have an answer, Andy. I have an answer. And Heather's like, I do too.
Angie asked them not to tell Lisa because production didn't want her to know that Angie was getting the first event.
Now, that I believe. That I think is the truest. Except I heard that I'm not going to get into timelines. We're going so long. Okay, so Heather's like, yeah, they knew it would send her into a tailspin, which it did. And Lisa's like, no.
It did not send me into a tailspin because none of us were getting along. That was the right move. That was the right move.
What was the right move? None of us were getting along, so that was the right move. What was the right move? The caterer not agreeing to do her party?
Maybe it was...
Lisa tells on herself all the time.
Or was it the motive? Like, wait, what did Lisa say again? She said, none of us...
Now, that doesn't mean that it's accurate, because I was typing a lot. But I wrote, because none of us were getting along, it was the right move.
Wait, did she say this in response to Andy saying what would have been her motive in sabotaging this for Angie?
Yeah, well, it was a response to Whitney saying Angie said that production asked her not to tell Lisa because they didn't want her to know that Angie was getting the first event. So that's why she was saying it was a secret to Lisa.
I think I was just trying to say if like maybe it was motive instead of move, but I think it was. She did say right moves. Really important point. I'm like, guys, I'm going to stop the entire podcast to really think about this.
But it does. It could change a lot. You know, one word changes a lot. So I'm sticking with move. And Lisa just told on herself.
So Andy's like, well, what would have been the motivation for sabotaging this? And Whitney goes, Angie and I connect. That's the motivation. And Lisa goes, no, it's not. I just spat all over my microphone. I'm sorry, microphone. I'm sorry. I don't do things like that. I don't.
But Lisa asked Angie not to be my friend, and she told me on social media, she said not to acknowledge me on social media, and we've all seen receipts.
Whitney, you are so full of shit. That's not what the receipt said at all, and you fucking know it, and you still come here acting like that. And then we see a clip of Angie saying, she's asked me not to acknowledge you as my cousin. And Lisa's like, you know what I said? You're twisting it. I said don't claim her. Because Lisa posted this receipt while back that was the actual text where what's-her-buns, Angie, said, oh my god, I just found out by watching the show that Whitney and I are like cousins or something. And she said, oh my god, don't claim her.
Yeah, it was clearly like a snarky remark. And they're like, oh my God, she said, don't associate with her. Like they went and they ran with it. And Andy goes, did you call them inbred polygamous cousins? And then we see a clip of Lisa going, they're like inbred polygamous cousins.
I mean, it's just weird that they're friends now. I mean, like, they're just friends because they're like weird inbred polygamous cousins. I don't get it. It's like, I looked up the whole clip and it was cracking me up because she says something like, I mean, that's like what me and my girlfriend saying, like, oh my God, we both believe in Jesus, so we're sisters. Meaning like, we're all related because there was just Adam and Eve, so we must be brother and sister or whatever.
Right.
So anyway, who cares? So Lisa's, so then I looked up myfamilygenie.com because I wanted to know all the cousins. Oh my God. I looked at this whole tree of these people. It was nuts. You guys should go look it up. And I would get into it, but we're in hour 23. So, Ben,
we could talk about it on Take a Seat tonight. How about that? Little plug. Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So Andy's like, well, why would Lisa try to sabotage her friend of 20 years? And Winnie goes, because Angie knows all her deepest, darkest secrets to protect herself. Winnie loves spinning a narrative. She might be right in this case, but between this and like with Meredith, like she wasn't on the van and her memorial may have been on a Monday or a Tuesday. Meredith is in the Secret Service. It's like, what are you talking about?
But it also makes no sense because Lisa brought Angie on the show. So why would she bring Angie on the show who knows all of her deepest, darkest secrets, but then try and sabotage her friendship with you? Like none of
because
that makes any sense.
She has a list. Angie has a list, and Lisa is afraid people will see the list, and that's why Angie has to advertise it. Now it's like, no, that's Angie's list is a totally different thing, Whitney.
Angie loves construction, and Lisa doesn't. That's why, Andy.
So Meredith's like, Lisa, I have a question. Well, let me shake my head and bow it again. May I, on casino night, when you ran into this problem with Angie, did you feel I had your back?
I do feel like you had my back, yes.
Well, the golf balls rest.
So Whitney's like,
but when you take a step back, can you see how the timeline and cadence of event,
the cadence of events, Whitney? And Lisa's like, no, because I 100% did not do it. Now, yes, I think that of course it looks like Lisa fucking did this. Of course it does. But we just were read the text that said the caterers never promised to do this in the first place. And Angie's like, yeah, they pulled out at the last second. No, Angie, you never had a fucking caterer for your party and then tried to blame your shitty planning on somebody else.
It's true. So Andy is like, he's like, Heather, you and Lisa developed a good friendship by the end of the season, but you've become also good friends with Angie, who we are talking a lot about this episode, but not actually having her on. They just celebrated Angie's birthday in Cabo. How does that make you feel? And Lisa's like, well, I'm happy that they're all friends. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, right. So oh, happy. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. And this is where Heather will not, through the rest of this episode, Lisa can't open her mouth without Heather screaming over her, right? So Heather's like, you just can't take responsibility for being territorial and controlling. And Heather just keeps talking over Lisa. So Lisa's like, I have a text that explains everything. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Yeah. It says that they thought Jenny is a perfect example of that. Of what? Lisa keeps... he's just like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So Andy's like, Heather, Lisa, you became friends with Lisa by the end of the season, but now you're friends with Angie? What's up with that? You went to Cabo? So Heather goes, yeah, and it was a great vacation. We were on a yacht that Chris actually paid for instead of just posting pictures of it like you do, Lisa.
And Lisa goes, oh, are you insulting John Barlow right now? Are you insulting John Barlow right now?
She lives the life that you pretend to have. She actually has that life, okay? And we enjoy the spoils of it. I was like, oh, wow, you're top-tier users. Congrats.
They are acting, I mean, they're literally acting like she is like Kate Middleton or something like that. Like Angie. Like Angie got us a yacht in Cabo San Lucas. I mean, it's like it just seems like she's going out throwing money at everything. So Heather's like, I have dirt on you, Lisa, and I hold it all back, but maybe I won't hold it back any longer. So Lisa goes, well, what about your DUI? She goes, look it up. It's a lie. Okay. Unless you're referring to my driving under the influence of Mormonism.
Which I gave up.
I gave up my DUI.
First of all, if you had dirt on Lisa, you would have said it. I mean, please. Yeah. You were talking about how Jen Shaw, you got her an Uber, and then Jen Shaw got out in the middle of... you would sling the shit, okay? Also, I did look up the DUI. I could not find it anywhere, even under her full name, Heather Deansgay.
This makes so much sense because you watched this before I did, and you're like, I spent so much time looking things up. And when I was watching it, I was like, what did Ronnie look up? And now I get to find out.
I had a crazy weekend watching, or I had a crazy night watching this. So Lisa's like, yeah, look it up, liar. I looked it up. This is so insane. Okay, so here's what I found out. This is John, legacy.com. This is her father, Heather's father. Always up for adventure, upon graduating from the University of Utah, John joined the FBI and immediately left for Quantico, Virginia. Isn't that crazy? And the first assignment with the FBI, the bank robbery desk.
Are you saying that Heather's father was in the FBI? Did Heather's father's ghost rat Jan out?
I think that's so interesting, being that this whole season is like, who called the FBI and, you know, the bank robbery when Jen is accused of, like, wire fraud and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying there is anything to it. I just thought it was very
interesting. Well, it is interesting too, because... Well, it's interesting too, because the whole season's, a lot of it's been about this FBI situation, but also about Heather and her relationship with her late father. And it's strange that they didn't connect those dots and Heather did not expand upon that and say, you know, my father was actually an FBI agent and I actually was around this stuff a lot. So this is bringing up a lot of sad memories for me. Like, I'm surprised she just didn't even like make it about herself in that way.
I am too. It's weird. And it's then like I also found out failure. I couldn't find out anything. I mean, I searched for a long time, as you can tell. So then I was searching up her husband, Frank William Gay III. Wait, Frank Billy. William Gay. Wait, no, Billy. Billy. Yeah, I must. Okay. There's another relation. Anyway, the point is Billy, and now I need to relook this up, but I think Billy tried to trademark the term Mormon royalty after the show came out. Isn't that interesting? Just that's interesting facts.
That's fun. That's funny. So then Heather tries to actually spin this. She's actively fighting with Lisa and promising to bring out all the dirt on her, and then says, but, you know, we love you as you are. We love you as you are. We just want you to be yourself. We want you to have that all for yourself, and you don't want to take it. You don't have to fake it, okay?
Some people are just like that. I mean, you can't tell Diet Coke to stop faking it. It's Diet Coke. It is what it is. Okay? So Heather's like, you do fake it, Lisa, and it's okay. I mean, maybe you should just pivot. And Lisa goes, oh my God, you want my K-1s?
Just, I love her more when I saw her true self show up than I've ever liked her before, because I don't want to be friends with someone who's just some character, a caricature she once read in eighth grade that said how to be a cool mean girl.
But don't you think you liked her more when she lost it because you had been riling her up to lose it against Meredith and literally made her promise you on the bus that you would go for Meredith that night at dinner, and then she finally did? And what a coincidence. That's the one night you liked her. So weird. Yeah.
Let's move on. Jen, why do you think Lisa mentioned your former dress designer? Did she want to humiliate you, or was she worried that Whitney was being a bad friend? Honestly, we'll accept both answers.
Why isn't the question, Jen, why did you abuse your former dress designer? Let's roll the fucking footage that we have. Why is this about Jen being a victim again? So
yeah, that's true too.
Jen's like, well, what I thought in the moment was that she wanted me to know that Whitney isn't a good person, but... And Lisa's...
Wait. This is about my business, so I want to clear it
this
up.
This is like, not, it's not about your business, Whitney! Okay?
At the time that he was working for Jen, we thought he was Jen's ride or die, okay? And that was prior to the leak of the audio. So I told my team as soon as I heard, can I start from the beginning, Andy? No! Okay. As soon as I heard audio, I told my team, do not reach out.
LOL at Whitney acting like she has a team. I'm sure.
I know.
Whitney has this huge team of
daughter.
People. Yeah. So Lisa's like, my intention in bringing it up, she's telling Andy, like, quietly, because everyone keeps talking over her. And Whitney goes, what's to get mad at me? And she goes, oh my God, you hold me to one standard, but why is it okay for them to do all that stuff? And Heather's like, yeah, to explain her horrible behavior, Whitney.
I'm lost in my notes. You continue.
So Lisa's like, I didn't want to hurt or disparage. I was also questioning my relationship with John because... And Heather's like, yes, you lost control. That's why you did it. And it's just a bunch of screaming over each other. Lisa, you totally brought shit on camera that was you knew was going to embarrass Jen, who was supposed to be your great friend. On the other hand, you know the producers were like, bring this shit up. I mean, Jen just abused somebody on the Twitter. We've got to talk about it on the show, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently exactly. They had this conversation about it, and Lisa had said she wouldn't bring it up, but then brought it up anyway on the show. And Heather's like, that's how you are. You want to make sure you know everything going on in a scene before anyone films with you.
Yeah.
Heather, you're literally on camera going, you're going to talk to Meredith tonight, right? Tonight at dinner, you're going to talk to Meredith tonight. Also, in the season finale, when Mary kept trying to run away from Jenny, have you seen the clips that are being reposted of Heather going,
no.
Well, Jenny, go. Like, pointing at her, like, egging Jenny on to keep chasing Mary. So
close. Oh, that's funny. Wow. So
everything's so mad. I'm always like,
So anyway, so then Jen is now just like saying, she's like, no, I'm really hurt. After I saw the Veil episodes in real time. Remember what I said? I saw them in real time. Okay, in real time. And you know what? Like, you know, and like now I know why Lisa didn't answer the phone. And Jen, and she's like, I defended Lisa adamantly. And Lisa goes, Lisa was like, wait, well, like what? Lisa would ever do what? What are you saying I would ever do? Say exactums. I want to hear exactly. Say exactums. And don't narrate me. Narrate. If you're going to narrate, narrate with exactums.
Well, that Lisa would be two-faced. But I wasn't two-faced. I mean, I didn't mean to be. And Andy says, but then why for your charity Fresh Wolf thing would you invite Whitney but not Jen? She goes, oh, well, my team didn't invite Whitney. Wait, she says.
It was Jack and Henry. He was asking about Jack, right. Since Jack and Henry did the list, why did they invite Whitney and not Jen? And Lisa's like, well, they didn't invite Whitney. I did, which is like, you realize you're just destroying your entire argument. Your entire thing has been like, oh, I didn't do the guest list. My kids did the guest list. Now she's like, oh, well, but I added on to it.
Yes. It was last minute. And I called her and I said, I'm extending an olive branch. Oh, and she goes, I wanted her to see me as a mother and see my children and see my character and see that I'm raising two great kids. And Heather goes, Lisa, your character. And she goes, I don't want you to talk about my character. Well, yeah. I'm going to.
And Andy goes, well, why not invite Jen? Okay, well, at the photo shoot, I had a lot of emotions and Jen and I got like really hot. And I was thinking like, oh no, I messed up. And I felt horrible for it. Andy, I'd like to say that the right way to say it is horrible. No, it's horrible. That's how you say it. Well, I felt horrible about it. And then when we left, Jen called me and we got into it all over again. And I actually thought it was going to be the last time that I'd ever talk to Jen Shaw. Okay.
And Henry heard it and he was crying and he said, mommy, you're a great mommy. And he was hugging me because I was very upset. I love when Lisa gives that one sob.
And I love Jen Shaw, as controversial as it is. So as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, Jen is going to eat her up for saying as controversial as it is. And that's exactly what she does. She goes, okay, you know what? You don't have to add as controversial as it is to love Jen Shaw. Okay, it's not controversial to love me. All right.
Yeah. I mean, either love me or don't, but I'm tired of all the disclaimers when it comes to Jen Shaw. It's bullshit. And Heather's laughing to Whitney like, isn't this great TV? So good.
And that was the end of the first hour. I'm like, completely wow.
Bonkers.
It is completely, completely bonkers. But it was hilarious.
Super fun. God, loved it. All right, everybody.
We'll be back.
Thank you. So much for being with us. Yeah, we'll be back next week with more. I mean, this is the month of Salt Lake City. We'll be back tonight to talk live with you about this over on Take a Seat, Spotify Green Room app. Go get your live show tickets over at watchwhatcrapins.com. Don't forget,
We're coming to see you very soon. St. Paul for Real Housewives of Orange County, Milwaukee for Top Chef, and Chicago for Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And someone just texted me right now to say that there's limited availability in St. Paul. So,
well, there you go. Interested.
There you go.
You better hurry.
You better hurry.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.